track for... I want to learn a parasha in the Torah. I could ask the island to put away all cell phones, put them off. I want to learn a parasha in the Torah that l'chura, when you learn at face value, we seem to get the wrong impression. Let me start with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was brought up in a zman where everybody was serving Avodah Zarah, nobody was makin the Ribbono Shel Olam. Once Avraham Avinu realized there's a Bore Olam, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, his chalamud v'dikres b'kul gadol l'chol ha'om. He decided to get up and speak, give droshes all over. B'kul gadol l'chol ha'om, to all people, lo'idiyam sh'yesh elokai echad l'chol ha'olam. There's one God, v'lo'i ro'i la'avod. And that's who you're supposed to serve. V'hoye mahalach v'kaira u'mekabit sa'om me'ir elele. He used to go from city to city, speaking. And he gathered people from one nation to another, until he came to Eretz Canaan. V'kivin sh'ayu ha'am miskapsin lo'i v'sholim lo'i al dvorov. People used to come to the droshes, and they used to ask him in Hilchas Emunah. And he used to answer them until he was machze everybody on the Derech Ha'emes. Ad she niskapsu elov alofim u'ruvavus. Until they gathered to him, alofim is thousands, revolvers is tens of thousands. You hear what the Rambam says? He had the biggest Baal Tshuva Yeshiva going. Vehem Anche Beis Avraham. That's called Anche Beis Avraham. Veshosal Belibam. He installed in their hearts, Ha'ika HaGodl Hazeh. This Ika Godl, this main Nekuda, which is that there's Hashem Echod Ushmoy Echod. Vechibe Beis Svarim. And he was Mechaba Svarim. He brought out a lot of Svarim. He had a library of Svarim which Avraham Avinu wrote on the Maki who the Ribbono Shel Olam is. And he passed it over to Yitzchak. You're talking about Avraham Avinu had tens of thousands of people around him where he spoke. He was a prolific speaker and he was Makarov thousands of peoples, tens of thousands of Revovis. And he had Svarim as well. He had his English library, he had his art scrolls, he had everything. To know one thing, that was Ribbono Shel Olam. In the Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu was told by Avraham, Lech lecho me'atzecho. You want to be matzliach, you got to leave from where you were born, Beis Avicho. Go to the Eretz Canaan. And as he went to Eretz Canaan, he spoke in all these different countries where he went through, from Choron. And by the time he came to Eretz Yisrael, he had a yeshiva, probably the biggest Baal Tshuva yeshiva. Who went with him? Lot. Lot was his nephew. Avraham was then, it says over here, Ves ha-nefesh asher osu b'choron. He took with him hundreds, thousands of people with him from the droshes that he gave in Choron, in his hometown. He brought with him, Avraham Avinu was told by Ribbono Shel Olam, go to Canaan. Avraham Avinu was the Pied Piper. He took thousands of people with him. Ves ha-nefesh asher osu b'choron. What is nefesh asher osu b'choron? All the people that he made in Choron, says Rashi, says the Unklus. What does it mean? The Yosnaf Shoso. These are the people. These are the Neshomas. These are the people. The Shabidu La'oraisa. That became Meshubad to the Torah. That's what it means, Hashem Ofs, Nefesh Hashem Ofs, B'choron. These are the Baal Tshuva that Avraham Avinu managed to be Mekar with them, Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. And they became Shabidu La'oraisa. They became Meshubad to the Torah. And we're talking about, the Torah doesn't even mention who the names are, but they mention one person called Lot.
Loitz was a
tzaddik. He was the second in command of Avraham Avinu. And Loitz was Meisa Nefesh. He gave up everything. He wasn't told by the Ribbono Shel Olam. But he went with Avraham Avinu. Vayera Hashem el Avraham. And Avraham appeared. The Ribbono Shel Olam appeared to Avraham. Yet later on in the parasha, we find that the Ribbono Shel Olam stopped speaking to Avraham. Only when Loit went to Stoim did HaKadosh Baruch Hu appear to Avraham. And Rashi tells us there that what happened? A Kol Zman, the Rosha, Loit, was with Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't come and appear to Avraham. Once Loit left the house, no problem. Ribbono Shel Olam appeared to Avraham. Yet over here, when he was on the way, Vayera Hashem el Avraham, even though Loit was with him, says Rashi, he was still kosher, he was still a tzaddik. So you see, the Ribbono Shel Olam was willing to appear to Avraham, even though he had, what in our mind, we'd look at Loit as a rosha, but at that point, Loit was a tzaddik. And he gave up everything to go with Avraham. Okay. Then there's a story in the parasha which tells us, this is Parashas Lech Lecha, Agav Baruch Hu. Then there's a story in the parasha that tells us that he went down to Mitzrayim, and they took Sarah. They asked Loit. The Medrash tells us, Rashi tells us later, one of the reasons why Loit was safe from Stoim was not because of his Hachnosis Erechim, but because of something else. Because he kept quiet when the Mitzrayim asked, who is this lady? And he kept quiet. Kimon Sheshosak, since he kept quiet, he was Zeicha to be saved from Stoim. Not his Achnasas Erechim, not his Shmiras HaMitzvahs of keeping Pesach. Loit was Zeicha from his own merit to be saved from Stoim because he kept quiet. Okay. Then he moves forward. He goes up after the Maisa of Sarah. He goes up. Vayal Avraham Mitzrayim hu v'ishtev chalashalei v'loit imoy. The Torah always mentions Loit because Loit was number two. He was the Skan Rosh Yeshiva, and Loit went with him. And Loit had a lot of mikneh because he was Zeicha b'schus Avraham Avinu to become very rich. The parasha tells us, the Medrash tells us, that Loit looked like Avraham Avinu. They were similar in features. Not often does the Torah tell us that they were opposite in features. Yankov and Yosef, Avraham and Yitzchok. The Medrash tells us that Avraham and Loit were similar. If the Medrash tells us that Avraham and Loit were similar, you're talking about a man that was close to the Madrega of Avraham Avinu. And yet, they couldn't live together. Why? They had a lot of rechush, properties, Tzoyna Boka. They couldn't sit together. What happened? There was a fight. There was a fight between the Roya Mikne Avraham, between the Roya of Avraham and the Roya of Loit. What was the Machlaikas about? Loit's farmers came along and said that Eretz Yisrael is going to go to Avraham Avinu. The Ribbono Shel Olam promised them Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, it belongs to us already now, because Avraham Avinu doesn't have any kids. So therefore, they're allowed to graze in other people's property, because it's really ours. Right? No problem. It belongs to the yeshiva. Oh, I thought it was the yeshivas. No problem. I'm allowed to go and take Yenim's ketchup. No problem. It's everybody's. It's going to belong to me anyway. Avraham Avinu came along and said, no. Ribbono Shel Olam said to me that I will get it only after four generations. Haknani oz hoya ba'aret, says the land, says the pasuk. That it still belonged to the Kanani. Ribbono Shel Olam hadn't really given it yet to me. He promised it to me, but it's not mine yet. Therefore, it's Gezel. And this was an intellectual dialogue between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Avram. Now, that has nothing to do with Avram and Lot. But Avram says to Lot, Al tihi no meriva beini ibein ocho. Let's not fight. Who's fighting? Avram was fighting with Lot. And then he goes even further. We're brothers. You're my nephew. We look alike, says the Midrash. We understand what Tachlis HaBriah is, what we're here for. We've got such a big... You move. He poured no ma'olai. Move away from me. If you go left, I'll go right. And Lot says, no problem. But Yisoh, Einov, Lot is Einov, he picked up his eyes and he saw Stoim, beautiful piece of property to live there. He's going. What happened? What suddenly turned in Lot's mind after being Dovuk, being Moiseh Nefesh, to live with Avraham Avinu, going all the way out from Choron? He goes all the way down to Mitzrayim with him. He's been learning day and night with Avraham Avinu. That's his Rebbe. That's everything he stands for. Suddenly there's a riv, there's an argument between Miknei, between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Avraham. It becomes personal. And Avraham Avinu says, you know what? It's time to separate ways. And Lot says, no problem. What happened to Lot suddenly? What suddenly turned? This is a very shvera parsha. Because if you take a look later on when Lot went to Stoim, the way you read it in the parsha, and the way the Torah tells us, you'd say the man is a rasha. And yet, he was Moiseh Nefesh v'Achnasas Arachim. When he's sitting b'yeshiv, Shas, when the Malachim came down to Stoim, Lot went running forward to offer them a house. And they said to him, no, we want to sleep in the street. And he kept pushing them. Vayiftza ben ma'oid. He kept pressing them. No, stay in my house. And they agreed at the end. So Mordechem, Achnasas Erechem, Sirus Nefesh of Achnasas Erechem, in a place where it's Sakonas Nefoshes, it's dangerous to be Machnas Erech. Then he goes even further. He gave them a su'udah. Says the Mefarshim, what su'udah? Vayefilehem matzos. It was Pesach by night. He kept the mitzvahs. He was Mekayim matzahs. That's why he gave them matzahs. Vayasa mishte umatzahs offer. Torah tells us he baked matzahs because it was Seder night. So you see a man who walked away from Avraham Avinu's house and he's still being Moiseh Nefesh v'Achnasas Erechim in a place where it's dangerous to take in visitors, and he's keeping his mitzvahs. He's making matzahs. Even more than that, you went to a place that's full of Rishoyim. You went to Stein, which is Molly's Nus. And they surrounded the house. They all came banging down. Why have you got visitors? And the Torah tells us, he says, you know, his mysterious nephews went so far, right or wrong. He says, you know what? You have a problem with my visitors. I've got two daughters in the house. Asher lo yodu ish. They're still basulas. In Stoim, his chinuch that he got from Avraham Avinu, which Stoim was known as Shtufei Zimo, it was full of arroyos. Lot kept the chinuch in the house. Asher lo yada ish. It's probably more than I can say about a lot of guys' girlfriends here. Lo yada ish. They were still basulas. You take them. But don't do anything to my visitors. I'm a serious nefesh. Unbelievable. And yet the Torah tells us he was saved because he kept quiet, because he had a schus of this mitzvah that he kept quiet in Mitzrayim, he didn't open his mouth. So who is this Loit? What's going on over here? Mitzad Echot, he went to Stoim and he kept a starker house. It's like moving to America 100 years ago and he was Mesa Nefesh for Shabbos and he kept all the mitzvahs. It's like reading the book all from the boss. Unbelievable. And if you look later on in the parasha, you'll see that Benois Loit but Tzadikos. And I'll tell you a story about Benois Loit. In Akdoma to the Igros Moshe, there's a story there that Ramosha Feinstein was a rov in the town, and there was a yid in town that had a funny machla. I can't remember what was written. Either his tongue grew very, very long, and he couldn't speak, he was losing his breath. And Ramosha went to visit him. He was dying. Funny machla. It's written in Akdoma. And he told Ramosha, I want to speak to you. And he closed the door and he told Ramosha, I had a dream. But Benois Loit came to me. But Benois Loit. Because I, when I learnt the parasha of Benois Loit, I made latzonos of the daughters of Loit that they had a relationship with their father. Because they thought there was nobody around. So they had a relationship with their father. And Moyav, Amon and Moyav came out from Loit. And I made latzonos, kilu. What were they worth? And they came to me in a cholam, and they told me that we did it l'shem shemayim, because we thought that there was an earthquake. Stoim, if you take a look at the parasha, it looks like there was a proper earthquake over there. And there was a volcano eruption. It was something along those lines that the whole stone was turned upside down. And we thought the world, there's nobody left. And we meant l'shem shemayim in order that there should be a hemshech to the world. That's why we had a relationship with our father. And hayyis, that you made latzonos of us. Either something to do with his mouth or your tongue, will, and you'll die from this machla. And Ramosha said the ma'is is emes. This is written in Igros Moshe, you can take a look. In Akdoma to the 8th chelek. This is Benois Loit. This is a story that happened 100 years ago, 80 years ago, when Ramosha was rov in Russia. So you're talking about tzadikos. What happened over here? Yeah, if you take a look, Loit, Avram takes it as a personal fight with Loit. And then the Torah tells us, Vayisa Loit Zainov, he lifted up his eyes. So what does Rashi tell us? Medrash HaGodah, Dorshu L'Ganai, we darshan this for a Ganai for Loit. So Yishtufi Zimo, Bochalei Loit B'Shunayisov. The place was full of znus. Stufi means like poshet. One big znus place. That's why they chose, that's why Loit chose to go there. Does it make sense? You're talking about a man who's living with Avraham Avinu. He was second in command. Moshe Nefesh on Torah mitzvahs. Vayisa Einovus. Vayisa Zainov. Vaya. Kikule masculine. It's beautiful land. He had a bigger Yitzhahara to make money. Loit could have chosen other places to go. He could have gone to where Avimelech lives in Plishtim. Avimelech was a shtickel a novi, because like a shporcha came to him in a cholam and told him, don't touch Sarah. Be careful with Sarah. So that means he understood who the Ribbono Shel Olam was. So you could go and live over there. You have to go dafka to the worst place. Dafka in Ben Yehuda, that's where you want to be. Nothing will happen. Loit had confidence that nothing's going to happen. Horai, you see. His daughters, still kosher. His daughters were tzaddikim. But there's nothing wrong with going down there. I can live in Stoim and nothing will affect me. Why? Because over there, I'll be able to make more money. And you know what? He takes Avraham Avinu's offer and he goes down there. Because it was the best piece of ground, land, for all his animals. He'll make a lot of money. He hasn't got enough. What's Mo'oid? Mo'oid means they knew who the Ribbono Shel Olam was. Umiskavin limroid by. They went dafka to be murdered, to go against what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted. And Lloyd felt confident. Time to move on. I'm okay. I can deal with it. Nothing's going to happen to me. I won't fall in. And you see that Taka Lloyd was my snefesh for. What happened over here? And then it says, Vashem Omal Avraham. The Ribbono Shel Olam came and spoke to Avraham. Acharei Pored Lloyd, after Lloyd separated from him. Says Rashi, brings down the Medrash, because Kol Zman Sha'isei Rosha was with Avraham Avinu, the Ribbono Shel Olam couldn't come and speak to Avraham. Suddenly Lloyd becomes a Rosha. Where does this Rosha come from? From what? What did he do wrong? Doesn't say in the Torah one Avera he did. In fact, he's a tzaddik, Yerushamayim, Moisa Nefesh, kept the mitzvahs. Where did he go wrong? What happened over here? The truth is, nothing. He didn't do any Avera. And yet, the Torah tells us, Vayisa Loit Mikedem, Loit went up from the east. Says Rashi, what does Mikedem mean? Medrash Agoda, he siya atmi mikadmoyne shalaylam. He removed himself from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Omar, he said, I'm not interested in Avraham or his God. Where do you see such a thing? Where do you see that in such a parasha? Avraham, Lloyd turns around because he's going down to Stoim. He turned around and he said, I don't need the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't need Avraham Avinu. It's a pain in the neck. I want to live in Stoim. I want to have a good time. I want to chill out. I want to make money. And yet on the other hand, you see, he was saved. He was Moshe Nefesh Vachnos Zorachim. He was Mekayim Mitzvahs. What's the Avera he did that the Torah says on him that he became an Apikoros? E'ef Shiloi Ba'Avram V'Loi Ba'Elakov. He was an Apikoros, said the Mepharshim. Where's the Apikoros over here? And on what did Avraham Avinu decide to part ways? Because his shepherds were having a fight with his shepherds. And here the Torah wants to tell us a Meridiki Yisoid. To become a Rosha or to become a Tzaddik doesn't always mean what you're doing now, who you are, how much you're learning and how much are you davening. It can be a very, very, very sensitive, silent, what we call perhaps sleeping midah, or thought that be'etzim is lying subconsciously in your head, and it shows up every so often. And when it shows up, that's treif. Let's take Lot. What should have Lot done? Lot the tzaddik, Lot the Talmud the Muvuk, who has been dovuk in Avraham Avinu for 25-30 years, he went from Choron to Mitzrayim backwards and forwards. The Chura, he should be on a Gevaldige Madrega. Shabidu la'araisa, he was Meshubah to the Torah. So Avraham Avinu turns up and says to him, you know, there's a problem over here. Your shepherds are having a fight with my shepherds. Your shepherds are being over Gezela. They're coming from a theory that I'm not going to have any kids. It belongs to you. And I'm telling you it's wrong. Because it doesn't belong to us. What should the Lot's reaction be? I'll take care of the problem. I'll take care of the problem. You know, you have to make a macha. You can't let such a thing happen. This is mamash gezeila. It's anhoga, which is wrong. What did Avraham Avinu say? He parod non me'olai. Depart from me. Separate ways. What was Lot supposed to say? Chas v'shalom. That was Lot supposed to say. You want to go away from me? I want to go away from you? Ochem anachnu. I'm on a madrega nearly as close to you. Klast upon of, I look similar to you. How many people in the Torah do we find similar? Avraham, Yitzchak, Yosef, Yankov, Lot and Avraham. Lot should have turned around and said, Chas v'shalom. I should leave the Beis HaMikdosh, the Beis HaMedrash on Avraham Avinu. I'll take care of the problem. He put, Chas v'shalom. I'll go and speak to my shepherds. I'll give them the right hashkofa, the right musa. But this is gezeila. What does Lot do? Lot didn't say anything. But the minute Avraham Avinu saw that Lot doesn't react, so then it becomes a personal thing between you and me. That means we're on a different level. We're on a different wavelength. A different planet. You like your money? It's worth more than what Torah stands for. It's worth more than what everything you've learned that for. It stands for more than what I've been speaking about for the last 25-30 years. Then he parod non me'olai. Then that's treif. Then it's time to separate ways. Says Lot, I like my money. You know what? I'll go to Stein. I'll make it there. I can go out into the wide world. I can go down to Ben Yehuda. It won't affect me. It won't have anything to do with me. I'll be a shomer Torah mitzvahs. And even if I do take a drink, we'll be our pitera. Chas v'sholom, without a brocha. I can survive there. I'll make it. There's no issa in what Lot did. Actually, there's an issa of his chabrus in Rishoyim. He lived between Rishoyim. He went to Hamokim Sakona. Okay. You're talking about oftener. And the Torah tells us, Vayisa is Einov. There was a Gishmak, it was a Gishmaka town. Sdoim was Molei Shtufei Zima. That's where he wanted to live. It was a chilled out area. Everything went. Everything's okay. Chas v'sholom, I wouldn't make out with a girl. I'm drunk. Nothing wrong. Chas v'sholom. When I'm fully there, shame the Torah mitzvahs, kedas v'kedin. Yeshiva bacha. They went down to Stoim. Lot decided Stoim's the place for him. That's where you can make money. And the Torah calls him a Rosha. The Torah calls him an Apikoros. It's as if he said, "Efshi loy ba'Avram v'loy ba'Elokov. I don't need Avram, I don't need his God." Did Lot say that? Lot didn't say that. His actions spoke for it. But what was his action? His actions was a grace ha'avera? No. Very, 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 what we'd call, under the carpet, superficial, machshava, or even rotzen. That when it came to the crunch, what's more important? My money? My mikne? My rechush? Or the Ribbono Shel Olam? And Avraham Avinu gave him a chance. Avraham Avinu was makar of everybody. He was the epitome of Ish HaChesed. And he was makar of the Gresta Shkotzim. Did he ever go to anybody and say, "It's time for you to leave"? He porid no me'alai. It's dangerous for us to live together. No. He's willing to be makar of everybody. Willing to bring out svorim on the Ribbono Shel Olam of Echod, Shmoy Echod. It's makar of everybody. They'll give his shirt off the back to anybody. In fact, even after he left, Avraham Avinu left Lot, he was Moshe Nefesh to go and fight for him to save him. His Mesiras Nefesh for Lot, even after leaving? That's no problem. I'll do anything for you. As long as we don't live together. Not in the same Beis HaMedrash. From what? What did he do wrong? Avraham Avinu later on, when he was taken in as captive, Avraham Avinu took Eliezer, 318 soldiers, and fought a war to save his nephew. What's chus? He left him. Zay gezunt. I don't know you. No. That's not stira. I'm still at Ish Chesed. I'll go out and save you. I'll help you. But not with me. I'll be your best friend. As long as we don't live in the same base of marriage, the same neighborhood. Why not? What did he do wrong? Because his royim, his shepherds were fighting with my shepherds. It's not even a fight between us. But Avraham took it yet. Alti no merida beini ubeinecho. Let's not fight between us. What fight did we have? Did Lot and Avraham ever have a fight? An argument? Chas v'shalom. Lot was a Talmud Muvuk. But his actions spoke more than anything. It was a mental... a machshava. His attitude. That his royim were doing gzeila. Because they wanted to eat. They wanted to get better. He wanted to make more money. And nobody knew about this. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, "Efshi." This is Yisro. This is Lot's way of saying, "Efshi b'Avraham Elokov." And Chazal learned from Lot that even though he kept his house clean from Znus, but because he went to Amokim Znus, L'soif Machilin Mipsorov, the onus for Aroyas, that you will eat your own garbage. The Torah tells us that he had relationships with his daughters. What more bizoyan could that be for a person? Amon Umoyov. Ostolovoi Bikahal. They're not allowed to come into Klal Yisrael. Who's Moyav? Me'av, from my father. For what? Rashi tells us, person who goes to a mokim znus, l'soif machilon l'isoi. He'll eat the garbage that he went for. You don't even need the Torah to tell you this. Each one of us sitting here can tell you it. The Rebbe Shlomo will shove it back in your face. some more with Bizyonus, some less with Bizyonus. What did Lot do already? What was the terrible thing that Lot did? That Avraham Avinu turned around and said, now it's time to leave. You're a tzaddik, you're moisa nefesh for mitzvahs, you do it all right, but it's wrong. One little thing. Your chemdas hamoman, you had a shtikel yetzahara for money, and the minute I offered you a chance to go out and live betterly, instead of saying, chas v'sholem, I'm not going there, you turned around and said, no problem, I'm out. On that, Torah says, Efshi, you're an apikoros, Efshi v'lekim v'lebavron. But Lot was a tzaddik. Don't think for 2 seconds he was a rasha. You're talking about something that lay dormant for years. You're talking about a mentality that when push came to shove, he failed. And once Avraham Avinu saw that he failed, he said, Hipared no me'olai. No, 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 it's not going to work. I'll be moisa nefesh for you. I'll be your best friend. I'll stay your uncle. I'll go and fight a war to save you. But don't, not in my Beis HaMedrash. From what? For not coming to davening? For not putting on tefillin? For not keeping Shabbos? No. There was an attitude by Yisrael, by Lot, that said it all. There was an attitude that when push comes to shove, I will push everything away from my Yetzirah. And on that, Avraham Avinu said, that Mahalach HaMachshava is dangerous. You can't have that in the Beis HaMedrash by me. I can be Makar of thousands of Shkotzim, but when I have a wrong attitude, that's even more dangerous than the Shegetz that I could be Makar from the street. He parid no me'alai. It's time to move on. You go your way, I go my way. We'll stay best of friends. Keep your mitzvahs, keep your Torah. Be shame of Torah mitzvahs. They're over there, not with me. Being a mashkiach in a yeshiva is a very tough job. It's even tougher when you tell everybody to turn off your cell phones and they still don't. It doesn't matter. It's a very tough job. You have to be the bocher's best friend, and yet you have to know each one's weaknesses, that you shouldn't stand on his toe or on his soft, whatever his weak point, and make sure you don't turn him off Yiddishkeit or the system, because that's what he's had all his life. It's a very hard job. It's harder, and there's more machshava that goes in. When do you speak to a bocher, and when you don't speak to a bocher? And when are you ma'orer? When do you tell a bocher that he's right and he's wrong, or when do you say something to him? Is it the right timing? Is it the wrong timing? Am I going to turn him off? Is he going to get what's it called at me? If I chas v'sholem, sholem, will drop a few drops of water on his head, will I hear the Shem HaMiyuchad from him? The famous four-lettered word? Is that what I'm going to hear? And each bocher you've got to keep in mind where he comes from, how abused he was as a child, whether it's from his parents or whether it's from teachers or whether he was just abused in school. And with all his emotional and what's it called problems, He turns up, and you've got to take that all into consideration when you go around the dormitory, when he's there, when he's not there. And when he's not there, if he's not in the area, you know exactly what he's up to. Do I call him up? Do I wipe the floor with him? Should I call him up because he won't take my phone call? So why put him in a position where he's ignoring me and therefore I have to react? So I won't react. It's a very rough job. But you know what? Sometimes worth it. It's worth it in the long run. If you take a look at the list of B'nai Torah that the yeshiva turned out in the last 15 years, yeah, it was worth it. But it comes a price with it. There always has to be a time where there has to be hiparid no me'olai. It's time to separate ways. I'll be your best friend. I'll stay your best friend. I'll do anything for you, but not in my Beis HaMikdash. Because there's a moysed called Yeshivas Lev Aryeh. And then there's a guy called Aaron Lopin that has a personal relationship with each one, lefi his madrega, and lefi how much he's willing to sort of keep the relationship. When do you turn around in such a functional or dysfunctional place and say he poured no me'olai, it's time to separate ways? Do you say it when there's a chilul Shabbos? Do you say it when a guy goes down to Ben Yehuda and is over Isur Daraisas of Arayos of Gimel Averus Chamuras? Do you make machaz that how do you expect to start learning tomorrow when every guy is lying in bed with an iPod watching a movie and there's no such thing as a clean movie? And that's what you say goodnight to your neshama with, and that's what your neshama is chazering over when he goes upstairs, whether you believe it or you don't believe it. But that's the last thing your neshama goes upstairs and chazers over. What I just saw. And that's what you got to show upstairs. And the Ribbono Shel Olam makes a cheshbon. Should I give him back his neshama tomorrow morning when he's going to do the same thing? Should I give him back his neshama the same thing when at 4:30 the mashkiach has to call up a whole list of bochum to remind them to put on tefillin? Is that what I'm here for? And mitzad sheni, it's gevaldik. Everybody's being shomer Torah mitzvahs. Oh, Hashem, there's no drugs. Ah, gevaldik. Everybody has their 1 hour during the day where they're learning. Make a cheshbon. 60-70% of the yeshiva shows up for shacharis. The funny thing is, about a week or two ago, each Rebbe was asked to make a list. Starting from shacharis, first seder, second Seder, Mincha, Maariv, Night Seder. And each Rebbe had a different Seder and a different Shia and a different time of the day where he crossed off in his little notebook. And then when the whole list came together, and you see it right in front of you, who's there and who's not there. And I'm including, you get the tick even if you turn up for the half an hour, 45 minutes that you do the Rebbe a Toiva, that he's not sitting on his own. Dosyo. You still get the tick. And you still get the tick even though when you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, it's before Sof Zman Tefila. And you have to be sent out because it's nearly Sof Zman Tefila, it's time to put on film, and like, you look at him as if he's nuts. You still get your tick. And you know what? It looks good. I would say most guys in this Beis HaMikdash have come a long way since El. They've come a long way. Some guys have steiged more than others, some steiged less. But they're all moving forward. But there comes a point that even though you'll be Moisa Nefesh, for Achnos HaZoyer Lechim, even though you'd be Moshe Nefesh to eat matzahs on Seder night, and even if you'd be Moshe Nefesh that your daughters shouldn't be over Zanus in the biggest mokim Zanus, and you're still learning, and you're still coming to davening, and you're still going to the mokim Zanus over there, but you're still keeping mitzvahs, there comes a point where I'll stay your best friend, I'll do anything for you, but not in this Beis HaMikdash. And it's not because of mitzvahs, and it's not because of aveiros. It's because Yefshi loy b'Avram v'loy b'Elokov. There's a point where you get the message that everything is choshev. Everything is choshev. But when you see a bocha, the attitude underneath his actions is be'etzem, he's telling you, apikeiros ani, my attitude is efshi, I don't want Ribbono Shel, I don't need Avraham Avinu, don't tell me what to do. I'll do it when I want, how I want it, when I want it, if I want it. And I'll chill when I want, how I want. That's dangerous. That's already a Maisa Loit where Avraham Avinu says he porid no me'olai. Doesn't to do with mitzvahs, nothing to do. It's a mentality. It's a certain attitude. Something's more chashuv to you. So you know what? When a bocha walks in on Shchodesh El with all the schmutz that he's carrying and all the complexes and all the emotional hurt of the last, should be 17, but it happens to be as well 16 years of this issue, of what you've been living. And he says, you know what? I'm ready to make a go at it. We'll take everything. Avraham Avinu went out there and did everything. You'll give up your sleep. You'll give up your nights. You'll give up your own ruchnius. Because Avraham Avinu, when Lot was still staying in his house, Avraham Avinu didn't get the Ribbono Shel Olam coming to him. Why didn't he throw Lot out? The Torah says that for Yenem's ruchnius, you have to give up your own ruchnius. That's what the Mefarshim say. Even though you might steig more, but Yenem's ruchnius, you've got to give it up. You've got to give up your own ruchnius. You've got to give up your own ruchnius. And if you ask most rabbeim in this yeshiva, they'll tell you they can steig more in Torah and Yerushalayim if they weren't around here. If they didn't have to hear every schmutzig meis that's going on. If they didn't have to hear all the comments, or the language, or even seeing the attitude that people have to mitzvahs, it affects you. I was told once by Adam Godel that a guy like you has to go to mikveh every day. He said, you should go to mikveh every day. I said, why? I go around Levar, your dormitory, but I'm not exactly doing what they're doing, that I have to go to mikveh every day. And he said to me, because the tumah that you hear, the kalos and shmiras hamitzvahs that you see, affects you. You don't see it, but it has an effect on you. Unless you wash it off with mei tahara of either a mikveh through learning, it's going to have an effect on you down the line. So if you're asking, do we give up our ruchnias for your ruchnias? Yes. Kol zaman, that's as long as Avraham Avinu will take his yeshiva to Canaan, Dairish Bashem, no problem. But as soon as he sees an attitude that has a long-lasting effect, that can end up treif chaza, you haven't done anything wrong. You're doing well. You're coming every day to every seder that you have a chavrusa with. You might even be from those sent
that even come from the 3% that's left of the yeshiva that come from, right, Seder Mariv. There are guys that walked around in this yeshiva, I don't think have davened mincha. Forget about davening mincha, betzibur. Don't even remember if they davened mincha. I'm not even talking about marriage. No problem. We'll live with it. But the minute there's an attitude of EFSHI, I don't want loy b'avron b'elakov, when it comes to the punt, when it comes to the push over, what happens? What's going to be? And all you get is basically read between the lines, then you know you're on dangerous ground. Then you know it's time to turn around and say, I can't keep quiet anymore. Running a yeshiva is dinin nefashos. Rabban Kotler once said the reason why Rosh Yeshivas have to go around the world and raise money is because they're chayev golos, because they're rotzeach b'shoigig. You make a mistake with the bocha, sometimes you throw him out, sometimes you say the wrong line to him, you turn him off. You're rotzeach, you're a murderer, you're chayev golos, who's b'shoigig. My father once asked, so how come the mashkir doesn't go out and raise money? He said, because the mashkir is amazing. But lamaisa is din in the foshes. Din in the foshes. And din in the foshes means every day you have to paskin din in the foshes. Do I say something to a bocha? He might get hurt his feelings. Mitzat sheni. You see what's going on, and you don't make a mecha. Chachomim say, Gemara says, if you don't make a mecha, Shma mino de nichalei, means that you agree with it, and you'll burn together with those guys, because you didn't make a mecha. So, we're living on eggshells all our life. And every day is hachlotus, making decisions. Do I moicha? Do you come in and say something to a bocha? Do you not say something to a bocha? Do you tell him to put on tefillin? Perhaps he'll get insulted. Perhaps you think he's choyshe b'ksherim. Do you tell him to wash negevasa? Do you tell him to watching movies? Do you say something about iPods? Should you not? If you don't say anything about iPods, the bocha walks around saying, I can sit and learn, I can daven, I can be mekayim mitzvahs. Nobody said anything. There's no such rule as not watching movies in the yeshiva. That's true, there is no such rule. Because the rule says in the Torah, znus is treif. Did the yeshiva stop anybody going to Ben Yehuda? But if chas v'shalom, somebody gets a text message that I would like to start Sunday morning like a mensch and that the oilim should come back on time, there's nobody home. Mashkiach has to go down to mekor ha'tumah, and it doesn't help the next morning going to mikveh. And he has to see all the shmutz, and he has to walk into the bars in order to make sure that a few behemoths get back in time. That perhaps Sunday morning we'll be able to start the week right. That it shouldn't be so schwach Sunday, and therefore Monday will also won't be schwach because I was up all day Motzei Shabbos. It's made a Sunday I've geschlafen. Sunday night I'm up again because I slept all day. And I just got downloaded a good movie. V'chule, v'chule, v'chule. I didn't get to sleep till 4, 5. So Monday's also killed. So basically, I'm a 3-day a week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Barachamim.
If you ask everybody and you remind everybody that there's a shmooze on Thursday, you might get everybody. Bechesed. When I put up the notice a few weeks ago about locking the doors, a bocha came up and said to me, "You're not going to do it." I said, "I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And I don't want such a yeshiva. I might have to do it, but I don't want to do it." And the truth is, I wasn't really 100% what we call confident within myself that that's the right move. Lock a door. But you know what? I figured, even if I don't do it, Efsha, the Bochum will realize, you know, we're trying to give you a remiss, change your attitude. There's such a thing as morning Seder. There's such a thing as second Seder. There's such a thing as night Seder. There's such a thing as Mariv, Mincha, Shacharis. Everybody understands guys can sleep in. Everybody understands that you can have a late night. And you'll turn around and you'll say, "I'm doing great. I learned 45 minutes of this rabbi. I learned half an hour in the afternoon. And I came for 5 minutes off the night Seder. And I actually made it to Mincha today. And there's Takan nobody home to talk to. You're right, you're tzaddikim. You eat matzahs. Machnis Eirach, Mamash Loit. But there's an EF she that's going around. There's a certain attitude that, under the surface, that's telling me EF she Loi Ba'Avron V'Loi Belakov. I don't give a damn. There's a certain, underneath the surface, attitude. We're chilling. If it doesn't get in my way, I'll turn up tomorrow morning. If it's not too hard, I'll do the Rebbe a favor, and he won't have to wake me up at 12:30, and he won't have to wait quarter of an hour. I'll come on time today. I'll do him a favor. You know why? Because last night Ataka went to bed early, and Ataka didn't have a movie to watch, and there was nothing to do in Ben Yehuda and get drunk. So you know what? We'll put in one good day. I actually will turn up, and I won't have to make the Rebbe wait for 15, 20 minutes outside. Or he has to make the cheshbon. Should I go around the rooms? Should I put the guys against the wall? Should I schlep them to shiur when they don't want to come and hear shiur? Do I force them to learn Torah when they don't want to? And that's what's going through every Maggid Shiur's mind. Today, I get a phone call from Rabbi Yellen or Rabbi Rappaport. Today I decided I'm not going around. It's not going to work. They're not in the mood. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. Why turn them off? Why get on their bad side? Ke'ilu. You know. That's called the man. It's laziness. That's called the man. It takes hard for you to get into the learning. But when there's an undercurrent that the message comes across, efshi, leave me alone, I can do what the H I want, when I want, how I want, and it doesn't make a difference, then I'm in a problem. Then it's time to turn around and say, "I'll take care of all your battles outside the yeshiva." He poured no me olai. It's time to move on. It's time to separate ways. And I turned around to Rabbi Rappaport and I said to him, "Until there'll be two korbanos in this yeshiva, nothing will move. Because that's the only language they understand.
There's no other language. Until they understand that a Beis HaMedrash, a yeshiva, runs not on rules, but it's run on a certain understanding of Shmiras HaTorah VaMitzvos. And if it means going to Stoim and thinking that you will survive, not here. That's when Avraham Avinu turned on to light and said, time to move on. I can go down there. I can sit and learn a night seder and still go down there. I can understand the Gemara the next day when I've watched 2, 3, 4, 5 movies. When it comes to a point where you say EFSHI, that's when it's time for me to leave. I'm not leaving. I'm here to take, to help. Doesn't make a difference what level they are. I'm here to help, to nurture anybody who wants to be helped, anybody who wants to steig in Torah and Mitzvahs, anybody who wants to steig whatever Madrege is on now, with all the Yetzaharas that he has to work with, slowly move, step by step. Not 2 steps, not 3 steps at a time, but 1 step at a time. Because when you take 2 steps or 3 steps, the fall is bigger. 1 step at a time. But it's got to be 1 step at a time. But when it's 1 step at a time, with this attitude of EF Shiloi Ba'Avron V'Loi Belakov, that's Treif Chaza. Yeah, you're coming to learning, you're doing mitzvahs, but there's something wrong with the whole makeup. You're never going to make it. You're never going to be a Ben Torah. When push comes to shove, you're going to throw it out the window. When push comes to shove, leave me alone. I'm not interested. It's not for me. That's dangerous. On that, Avraham Avinu turned around to his Talmid Muvok of 30 years and said, you go your way, I go my way. And you know what? Leib didn't even argue. Leib didn't say, Chas v'shalom, tell me what to do, I'll stay. He went! Because Avraham Avinu pressed that button. That button, which was never pressed for 30 years, he pressed it. That button has been pressed already. There's a certain hefkerus, there's a certain avira in this Beis HaMedrash, within the yeshiva, of everything goes. We can do what we want, how we want. And I'm not talking about rules of yeshiva. I'm talking about Yiddishkeit. I'm talking about Yisoidei Hadas. And if you ask me what's the attitude is EFSHI LOI BA'AVRON V'LOI BA'ELOKOV. I don't want it. I'll do it if it's comfortable for me. Asher Alkein, I'm being my dear, and I'm going to keep to my word. And I don't care who it is, I still love you all dearly. And some of you I might love even more dearly if you are Hipporid nor Me'olai. But I want to go according to this Mahalach that the Torah told us. I'll be Moshe Nefesh for the guy outside the yeshiva. But with that attitude in the yeshiva, Hipporid nor Me'olai. When the yeshiva makes a curfew Thursday night, it means we're here to help you not to be over Gimel Averus Chamuris. Because without making Gedorim, you guys will fall. Without setting up boundaries, you guys are going to fall flat on your face. when the yeshiva is going to make a curfew for Motzei Shabbos, 12 o'clock, I, with Rabbi Rappaport, will be here at 12 o'clock waiting to see who's back. Whoever's back, but not later than 12 o'clock, I will ask him to leave. No shaila asked. I don't care who it is, how much money he has, or how choshev he thinks he is. I'll be your best friend. I'll do anything you want. He poured no me'olai. Let's separate mahalchi. If the yeshiva is willing to give each bocha his freedom of choice about second seder, when do you come? Do you come 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock for half an hour? When are you actually moisa nefesh to get out of that bed and put the iPod away? That doesn't mean that night seder, you're potable a klum. There's no reason why there's no, what, every bacha shouldn't be here every night at 8 o'clock for Maariv. And you shouldn't be learning with an chavrusa. Every guy was given an older bacha or bacha better than him to learn with till 9 o'clock. Whoever wants to stay on, welcome. You're hungry? You didn't like the food? Go out at 9 o'clock. Go out at 10 o'clock. You've got plenty of time. But there's no way in the world that we will stand here and watch every bacha that from 12 o'clock or from 1 o'clock in the afternoon doesn't show his face till the next morning at 10:30. There's nothing doing. Doesn't exist. It's not going to exist. And if it means 2, 3, or 4 bachrim leaving till everybody gets the message, I've got no problem with that. I have no problem with that. I'll do anything to get you into a better yeshiva, bigger yeshiva. Where there you can do whatever you want, no problem. But not over here. I'm not going to stand by when this kfira, which you might think I'm fanatic, but the Torah tells me that Avraham Avinu didn't even know that he was an apikoros. The Ribbono Shel Olam said it. Yisrael didn't say it. I didn't want it. But that machshava, where he went, where he wanted to go, where he felt secure, even with the shmiras hamitzvahs, the Ribbono Shel Olam understood deep down in his heart. He's saying, "This is what's choshev to me. EFSHI, I don't want it. Don't give me this whole 9 yards of storim, Torah, mitzvahs. 3 times a week putting on tefillin is enough." Does anybody understand what it means missing a day of tefillin? Does anybody understand that tefillin, you're showing your kesher to the Ribbono Shel Olam? When you don't put on tefillin, what you told the Ribbono Shel Olam is like a wife taking off her engagement ring and throwing it in the face of her husband. That's what you just did. And then you want to still be alive afterwards? Then you want siyata dishmaya? When you just took off your engagement ring, which is the kesher between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam? Now's not the time to go into the Shmiras HaMitzvahs. When you don't wear tzitzis, you're telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, "I don't belong to your army. EFSHI, I don't want to be part of it. It's too hot. It's not clean. It's sweaty." When you have that attitude, you're telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, EFSHI, "I don't want to be part of your army. Lo ba'avron v'lo be'lakov, not with his God." I'll carry on learning. It's intellectually stimulating. I might get a bit of COVID if I say the right svara. The tachlis? I don't need it. I don't want it. When a bacha walks into the Beis HaMedrash without socks, you can laugh at me, you can say we're fanatic,
But you're telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's how much I'm worth, I look at you. That's how much I'm a chabad you. I walk into your main palace, and I don't have the decency to wear a pair of socks. Then you're just telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is how much it's worth to me. Did you do any avera? Pesach nicht. According to some tshuvas, yeah, you're over nisa. Is it the biggest avera? No. Speaking Lashon Hara is worse. But you just told the Ribbono Shel Olam, with your attitude, efshi ba'avron ve'belakov, I don't need it. I don't want it. Leave me alone. I don't need it. Don't give me this garbage. Socks, 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 socks. But you know what? When it comes to Hanukkah time, and you didn't get the message yet, that there's such a thing as covered Beis HaMedrash, there's such a thing as showing respect to the Ribbono Shel Olam's Kodesh HaKadoshim, because that's all we have today, is the Beis HaMedrash. Would you walk down the chuppah with your Crocs and no socks? Perhaps some of you would. Does anybody do that? Does anybody think of doing that? Walking down the aisle? Beis HaMedrash is more chashuv. When you stand under your chuppah with Crocs and shoes and no socks, I don't give the marriage much chance. You're probably both stoned out of your minds. This is what you're telling the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you have to be told every second day to put on the Ribbono Shel Olam's garb, that you're telling him, I'm part of your army. Oh, I forgot. What do you mean you forgot? It's not important. EFSHI, I don't want it. When you have that attitude running through the system, Yipored no me'olai. I'll deal with the Yetzer Haras. I'll deal with the emotional problems. I'll deal with guys who don't have a cheshuk to learn. But I'm not here to deal with apikorosim. Avada inan apikoros. Avada I believe in Ribbono Shel Olam. Avada by Nihila we all stream Shema Yisrael. But the Torah tells us when you have such an attitude, you're an apikoros. Apikorosim are dangerous to have in yeshiva. When you come back at 12:10, Motzei Shabbos, you're not apikoros. Because the idea of coming back at 12 o'clock is to give you a geder. That's telling you a certain remez. Don't drink too much, because you've got to be back at 12. Doesn't give you time to get too involved in your parshas aroyos. Or wherever you are. Or whatever you're doing. It's giving you a geder, because you can't make the gedorim yourself, so the yeshiva is going to have to make a geder where they'll be able to perhaps Sunday morning function like normal yeshiva bochum. And whoever doesn't want to go according to those gedorim, whether it's Friday morning coming to chabura, which is ben adam l'chaveroi, not ben adam l'mokim, if nobody appreciates when a bocha sits a whole week and he can't pick himself up and show some sort of covered for his chava who sat a whole week and worked on a chabura, and he wants to say it, at least have a full house. No, 15, 12, you got yeshiva 29 bochurim, and 15 and 12 turn up. What are you telling everybody? I don't care about Yenam's feelings. I really don't give a damn. I don't care. So he worked the whole week, so he's a sucker. Baruch Hashem, I'm not on the list. Him? He's a loser. He got his name up there. Where's the Ben Adam L'Chavera? It's all part of this kfira that we've been brought up in America, self-centeredness, egoistic. You can't be told anything, and it's all about me. There's no such thing as Ribbono Shel Olam when it comes to me. There's no such thing as tefillin. There's no such thing as tzitzis. I'm not comfortable. Nebuch.
pretty boy, you're not comfortable. When the Ribbono Shel Olam will throw it back in your face, as it says by Lot, when you go for Zanus, he'll throw it back in your face, and each one of us has had this experience. Some more, some less. Then you'll wake up and suddenly realize that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. That I've got to make Gedorim, I've got to make certain Gedorim. I'm not going to give out the timetable of what each bachur looks like. Perhaps we'll email it to each parent and let them make the decision themselves if they want to keep their son in the yeshiva, the fee, how many times he's turning up. That could be. We're testing till Hanukkah. There's curfew. Nobody leaves this building or this area Thursday night. Friday morning, everybody shows up for Chabura. There's no such thing. This is human decency. When there's no human decency, when your shepherds are eating somebody else's field, that's when it's time to go. He poured no me'olai. When you don't have the decency to mechabad yenem, I don't care if he's a first year, second year, or third year. When you don't have that chashivus, time for you to go. You'll never make it. Motzei Shabbos, whether it's an in Shabbos or out Shabbos, I will stand here with Rabbi Rappaport at 12 o'clock. Whoever is not back by 12 o'clock will be asked to leave. And leave, I mean leave. Leave means no rachmonus, and crocodile tears will not help me, because I made up my mind, I will not deal with the apikorosim. And it's the chas v'shalom, you're not apikorosim, you're tinnik shenishbos. Chas v'shalom. But the attitude of efshi, that I can't deal with. If you can't show up to Shia without the Rebbe going around at 12:30, you don't have the derech eretz of kovod haTorah. If you can't sit through a Shia without disturbing the Rebbe, and the Rebbe have to tell you three times over to be quiet and stop staring the Shia, then you don't belong here. Because that attitude of, I only think about myself, that attitude of self-centeredness, egoistic, where your machshava doesn't even realize, I disturbed him, I said anything, I was schmoozing to my friend. Let him carry on saying his shtickle Torah. If this can't be taken, then I won't make any cheshbon anefesh. I will inform you, Habibi, do me a favor. It's Hanukkah time already. You've been here 3 or 4 months. Shia you disturb. You never hear night seder. You never hear for Mariv. I've never seen you once by Mincha. Shachris man de cheshmei. Forget about Shachris. You never hear night seder. There are people who were here. We had a Suda's Prader. The Holy Shiva was here, Pachas Yesu. We've never had a packed marriage since Nila. That so many Bochrim were here for Mariv. And they actually davened it. Where was everybody for night seder? Where did suddenly everybody disappear? I was in the middle of watching my television program, or watching this, I was watching that. I'm holding my 24, I'm holding my prison break, I'm holding here, I'm holding there. No problem. I will give you prison break. You can all leave. I'll open the doors for you. But I'm telling you, Claw, my mind is made up. I'm a nice guy, I think so. But till a certain point. When it comes to kfira, when it comes to apikosis, when it comes to this attitude, I give up. I'll help you. I'll fight your war somewhere else. No problem. Some of the guys that left this yeshiva by me asking them to leave are my best friends today. And some of them helped me more in the yeshiva finances than other guys who stayed on. And I made a mistake by keeping them. This is a decision that was made. The Chovid Rosh didn't come overnight. I'm not saying it because I'm annoyed that something happened. This has been working through my mind with Anhola, with all the Rabbeim, backwards and forwards. Should we not say something? Should I say something? And it's not poshut. It's not poshut to say something. And it's dinin nefoshes. Don't think it's not dinin nefoshes. When you ask a bocha to leave, it's dinin nefoshes. But there's also a klal, and there's a yeshiva that has to run. And who knows if the one or two guys who never turn up in this space of medrash or pay a visit once in 3 days are not affecting everybody else. Perhaps this cancerous attitude, if we get rid of just one or two, that'll be enough chemotherapy to clean the place up. That will be able to hold the yeshiva together. That by the time we come to Pesach, l'chol apochus, the gimel averus chamurus, we will be keeping. Hatzlocha.